Senate Special Committee on Budget hearing Friday, July 1st, 2005. May have to recess because we've got floor at the same time. We may not have enough members to do business in both places, and budget bills are being heard on the Senate floor shortly. So we'll try and get through this in expeditious manner and hopefully answer questions for some of the members here. This is work session, so don't need public testimony at this point. Let's start with Senate Bill 5600, the Department of Human Services. Senator Carr.
Senate Bill 5600, as amended, is the budget bill for the Department of Human Services. The department helps people to become independent, healthy, and safe. Its staff and local providers support low-income and disabled Oregonians with food stamp benefits, cash assistance, employment and training, medical coverage, and long-term care. Intervene in cases of child and elder abuse, offer treatment services to those with mental disorders, alcohol and drug addictions, and regulate the state's public health system. The proposed 2005-2007 budget for the department is $9.8 billion total funds. This includes state resources of $2.5 billion general fund, $345 million of tobacco tax revenue, $24.5 million of tobacco settlement funds, and $9.3 million of lottery funding. The general fund budget is $93 million higher, about 4% more than the governor's recommended budget. The changes include funding to cover almost all of the $66 million general fund and related other funds and federal funds limitation increases requested for the department's reshoot or re-projection of the governor's budget. The reshoot reflects new caseload and cost forecasts as well as pricing corrections for reductions made in the governor's budget. Other adjustments increased by the budget by a net $24 million general fund and $44 million total funds. The Senate budget plan reductions totaling over $10 million general fund include a 2% cut in all services and supplies expenditures and delay cost of living adjustment 6 more months than in the governor's budget. However, funding was added to restore many programs that had been reduced or eliminated in the governor's budget. This budget, for example, restores our Oregon Project Independence at $8.9 million. It continues the Medicaid long-term care option of having relatives provide adult foster care services. It provides full funding for Medicaid home and community-based care services without imposing enrollment cap. The budget maintains reimbursement rates for adult foster homes and adds back some of the governor's reductions to assisted living facilities rates. Funding was added to restore some of the governor's reductions to cash assistance, daycare, and foster care programs for children and families, and for vocational rehabilitation services. The bill also sets up a $2.5 million special purpose appropriation to the emergency board to address child welfare staffing and legal representation issues. The proposed budget attempts to address one important reduction that was made in the governor's budget to eliminate dental services within the Oregon Health Plan. While we were not able to add back the full benefit, the budget does provide funding for an emergency dental benefit as well as some additional dental benefits. We hope to continue to work on this issue in the days ahead. This DHS budget, colleagues, does not fund every program that many of you would like to see funded, but it goes a long way to preserve vital services and supports for our state's most vulnerable citizens. The Human Services Committee recommends Senate Bill 5600 be amended and reported out, do pass as amended.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Carter. Any discussion? Objections? Senator Morse will be an objection, recorded as such. Anyone else? Seeing none, it passes. All right, Senate Bill 5604, Health Sciences, Oregon Health Science University. We'll start with Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 5604 is the bill that provides general fund support to the Oregon Health and Sciences University and authorizes tobacco master settlement funds to pay debt service on state bonds that were issued to support the OHSU Oregon Opportunity Program. The general fund in this budget supports the university's academic programs, its hospitals and clinics, the Child Development and Rehabilitation Center, and the Office of Rural Health Area Health Education Center's AHAC programs. The governor's budget reduced state support for OHSU operations by $32.8 million from the current biennium level. At the governor's funding level, OHSU would have to increase tuition for Oregon residents to almost the non-resident rates, close several clinics operated by the Child Development and Rehabilitation Center, and reduce services in the remaining state-supported programs. SB 5604 restores $12.8 million of the $32.8 million reduction, thereby increasing the total general support by 24% over the level of the governor's budget. This will fully restore all reductions to the School of Nursing, the Child Development Rehabilitation Center, and the Office of Rural Health and AHAC programs. The restorations will avoid cuts to any other any of these programs and also to the Oregon Poison Center. The budget also restores $2 million of the reduction that was proposed for the School of Medicine and $2 million of the reduction to the School of Dentistry. The bill retains the elimination in the governor's budget of direct state support for OHSU's hospital operations outside of the Poison Center. The university will manage this $13.8 million reduction within the overall $1.2 billion hospital operating budget. Your Education Subcommittee recommends the Senate Bill 5604 be amended by the -1 amendments and reported out to pass as amended.
Very good, Senator. Thank you. Any discussion? Objections? Senator Morris? Thank you. Passes as advised. Senate Bill 5611, the Legislative Branch Agency. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 5611 is the budget bill for the six legislative branch agencies, including the Legislative Assembly, Legislative Administration Committee, Legislative Council Committee, Legislative Fiscal Office, Legislative Revenue Office, and the Commission on Indian Services. Although their budgets are contained in one bill, each of these entities is a separate state agency with unique statutory responsibilities. Overall, the budgets total $61.6 million general fund, which is a 4.8% increase compared to the 2003-05 legislatively approved budget level. The increase is primarily due to personal service adjustments related to PERS, health benefits, pension obligation bond debt service, and merit increases for eligible employees. The combined budgets were reduced by approximately $1.4 million general fund for the changes in PERS rate and the Attorney General charge hourly rate change. Due to the elimination of two policy packages, the elimination of one vacant position, the reduction of four full-time positions to session-only positions, and numerous service and supply reductions. Additionally, the reduction plan requires that approximately $1.1 million of general fund resources that otherwise would have been carried over for interim use revert to the ending balance. The savings from these reductions were partially utilized to cover the cost to replace an electrical gearbox that was installed in 1938, replace the bill drafting system, and perform related system upgrades, and add resources to address increased fiscal impact and performance measure analysis workloads. The Senate General Government Subcommittee unanimously recommends Senate Bill 5611 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Very good. Discussion. Objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5615, the Economic and Community Development Department. Senate Bill 5615 is the budget bill for the Economic and Community Development Department. The agency administers programs that aid businesses, communities, includes the Arts Commission and pass-through funds for the Film and Video Office. The agency is supported by a variety of funds. The Arts Commission receives general fund. Lottery funds support economic and community development programs in the Film and Video Office. Federal funds support a variety of programs, including the Community Development Block Grant. Other funds, including revolving loan fund payments and interest earnings in these funds, non-limited other funds include bond proceeds. Subcommittee approved a total budget of $457.3 million and 115 FTE. The budget is reduced $31.1 million all funds, 6.4% from the governor's budget. The adjustments include a $15 million reduction in the industrial lands policy package and a savings of $4 million in lottery funds debt service for this package. The agency is authorized, however, to issue $45 million in bonds for industrial lands and reduced debt service of $1.9 is shifted to other funds from interest earnings on lottery-backed bonds. Reduction of $120,564 to the PERS Attorney General rate adjustments. Approval of $140,000 Other Funds Murdoch Trust Grant with one position and FTE in the Arts Commission. Denial of the Governor's policy packages to increase funding for regional and rural investments by $3.5 million and to establish $9 million in funding for the innovation economy. Most of the $9 million in that package is funded in Senate Bill 838 and Senate Bill 853. Approval of the policy package to provide staff support to the innovation economy, including one position and FTE for $280,000, and reduction to the Oregon Development Fund of $1.6 million, including a reduction of $1 million to the Strategic Reserve Fund and elimination of $600,000 for the Flower Box Program. The Senate Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends that Senate Bill 5615 be amended and reported out due pass as amended. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none? So ordered. Next bill, Senate Bill 5616.
Mr. Chair,
Yes, sir.
I would like to record a no vote on.
Oh, sorry, Senator Morris would like to record it as a no vote on Senate Bill 5615. Next bill, Senate Bill 5616, Department of Fish and Wildlife, Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 5616 is the budget bill for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. The department is charged with managing, protecting, and enhancing the state's fish and wildlife and their habitats to provide the optimum economic, commercial, recreational, and aesthetic benefits. Subcommittee approved a budget for the department that totals $233.1 million. The budget includes $10 million general funds, $7 million lottery funds, $119.5 million in other funds, and $96.6 million in federal funds. The general fund portion of this budget is 7.9% below the governor's budget. The total recommended budget is 2.2% above the governor's budget. Subcommittee made reductions to reflect lower PERS and Attorney General rate. The budget includes a $1.2 million fund shift using money from the other fund ending balance to make general fund available for statewide needs. Subcommittee restores a reduction proposed by the governor for the operation of the Class 9 hatchery and partially restored a cut in the general fund used to purchase trout. The budget also restores a position working on water policy issues that has been funded using general fund, using other funds for other program reductions, and restores a fish screens engineer position using Measure 66 lottery funds. Subcommittee approved three of the performance measures submitted by the department, deleted three measures, modified one measure, and added 11 new measures, including customer satisfaction measures common to all state agencies. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5616 be amended and report out due pass as amended.
Discussion. Objection. Seeing none, so Senate Bill 5617, Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 5617 is the budget bill for the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. In this budget, the state supports the operation of Oregon's 17 community colleges, provides three of these colleges with state-level leadership and technical assistance, funds the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps, allocates federal and other funds to support workforce, adult basic education, and professional technical programs. The recommended budget includes $430.3 million of general fund to support the state's community college system. Community colleges have had to rapidly increase tuition rates and reduce course offerings. The state's support declined during the recession. At this funding level in the governor's budget, these trends were projected to continue. The subcommittee increased general fund support for the Community College Support Fund by $35.9 million, or 9.2%, above the level in the governor's recommended budget, to allow colleges to maintain and restore program offerings and to minimize the need for tuition increases. The recommended budget also supports development of an integrated pre-K student data system, provides $1 million to support the skills centers at Portland Community College and the Sabin Schellenberg Center, and incorporates administrative cost reductions. Capital construction projects for community colleges will be considered in a separate bill. The Senate budget plan supports the issuance of state bonds for community college capital construction projects upon the review of submitted proposals. Your education subcommittee recommends the Senate Bill 5617 be amended by the -1 amendments and reported out due pass as amended.
Discussion? Objection? Senator Morris? Senator Westland?
And just an explanation, Mr. Chair, not so much on the good work that's been done on this budget, but on the distribution formula that is has been developed by the Department of Ed. I give them a great deal of credit for keeping the funding formula out of this building, but I still think there needs to be more work on that funding formula. So if I could be recorded as a no, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Mr. Chairman, point of order. At this point, with five ayes. We had six.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You're a bunch here. You're supposed to be able to count.
My mistake. Okay.
Sorry. Thank you, sir. A lot of confidence in that education subcommittee.
I don't count now.
Getting worried. It's a long day already.
Budget passes. We're going to have to stand at recess. There's a call to the Senate, so we shall return.
Well, I don't know why I wasn't seeing Bates there.
State Police, Senate Bill 5618, Department of State Police. Senator Gordley, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 5618 is the budget bill for the Oregon State Police. This agency has a variety of responsibilities, including operating the only full-service forensics lab system in the state, assisting local public safety agencies in drug, and major crime investigations, enforcing traffic safety laws on state roads, maintaining information on fingerprints and criminal background checks, coordinating responses to natural disasters, and enforcing fish and game regulations. The subcommittee recommends a budget of $519.6 million total funds and $174.3 million general fund. This general fund is primarily used for functions relating to patrol, criminal investigations, forensics, and administration. The budget also includes $6.4 million in ballot measure 66 lottery funds for enforcing regulations relating to listed salmon and steelhead. The proposal by the governor to create a new Oregon Homeland Security Agency is not assumed in this budget, and the State Fire Marshal, Office of Emergency Management, and the Criminal Justice Services Division remain part of the state police. This budget also does not include the governor's proposal to use lottery funds generated from the expansion to line games to fund the patrol division and parts of the Fish and Wildlife Division. This budget restores 21 detective positions in the criminal division, which had been proposed to be eliminated in the governor's budget. The combination of these restored positions and the approval of the 8 new detectives will significantly increase the state's ability to investigate methamphetamine-related crimes. Other additions include a forensic scientist specifically assigned to meth-related lab work, the purchase of 171 new intoxilizers to replace the current aging machines, resources for enhanced fire prevention and education, and further federal funding for the High Intensity Drug Trafficking Areas Program and DNA analysis. The budget also recognizes the current management structure of the agency and transfers field command and staff support to the divisions where the actual spending decisions are being made to increase accountability. Actions over the past two biennia have resulted in significant reductions across the entire agency. In the past, partial restorations of troopers and staff have been made in the forensics and patrol functions, but there were few, if any, restorations for several key statewide services and the agency's infrastructure. This budget invests in areas like identification services, LEDs, administration, wireless communications, and forensic supplies. To fund these investments, the budget used savings from other public safety agencies and the savings from eliminating 20 troopers. If these investments had not been made in the budget, the department would have had to keep positions vacant, including sworn troopers, to pay for these crucial statewide services. The Subcommittee on Public Safety recommends Senate Bill 5618 be amended and reported out with a due pass recommendation.
Very good. Thank you, Senator. Discussion.
Mr. Chair,
yes,
just a note, we should anticipate that this agency will need to come before the emergency board at the earliest opportunity with a request for some restorations. They will be challenged, in my view, to function with 20 fewer troopers. This means that officer safety will be jeopardized, meaning there will be no backup for officers out there on the highways around the state. We are also expecting this agency to participate in efforts to eliminate methamphetamine traffic along the I-5 corridor, but they can't do it effectively without the troopers that we are eliminating. So again, given what I've just said, but also given some other challenges in the budget, we should anticipate and we should direct the agency to come to the e-board with a report of how they're doing. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Yeah, we welcome all the agencies to bring their requests or problems to the e-board. There will also be rebalance opportunities in some of the agencies. I'll point out that we did put a lot of money into a methamphetamine package where I think troopers will probably find their way into that. Further discussion? Objections? Seeing none, passes. Staff can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the next, the HERB, OWEB, and Health Relating Licensing Board budgets are similar, or exactly the same, actually, with the House budgets. Is that correct, staff?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay, just trying to help. Then you'll notice that there are a number of House bills, the House budgets we're going to pass that have been mutually agreed upon. We're going to use the House version for these particular budgets, just a point of reference for our members here. So the next bill, Senate Bill 5621, is the Employment Relations Board. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 5621 is the budget bill for the Employment Relations Board. The board is responsible for the mediation of collective bargaining disputes, adjudication of contested cases, and the resolution of questions concerning union representation for state agencies and local governments. The Subcommittee on General Government approved a total budget of $2.8 million and 12.0 full-time equivalent positions, which reflects a 5.1% increase over the 0305 legislatively approved budget. The board is funded by general fund and other funds, supported by an assessment on state agencies and fees for services. The assessment rate will remain at the 0305 level of $1.35 per position per month. During the 0305 biennium, the Department of Administrative Services conducted an internal audit of this agency. The approved budget attempts to address several of the areas identified for improvement by providing funding for research tools, equipment, training, and position reclassifications. The subcommittee also approved a budget note directing the agency to continue to identify efficiencies and to ensure that the assessment only covers the costs associated with state government services. If performance targets cannot be achieved, the board is to prioritize the workload from state government before local government. The Subcommittee on General Government recommends Senate Bill 5621 be amended and reported out, do pass as amended.
Very good. Thank you. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5623, Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 5623 is the budget bill for the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. OEB was established by the legislature as the agency designated to administer the lottery funds constitutionally dedicated to fund salmon watershed restoration as described by Ballot Measure 66 from 1998. Senate Bill 5623 also allocates lottery funds to other agencies involved in the Oregon Plan. Activities eligible to be funded with Ballot Measure 66 lottery funds. The recommended budget supports OEB expenses, a total of $5.4 million in lottery funds, which includes funding for the Lower Columbia River Estuary Partnership and the Independent Multidisciplinary Science Team. Funding for IMST was set at the same level the team received last biennium, plus inflation, with the understanding OEB could request limitation for additional funding from the Emergency Board. In addition, $1.6 million in Measure 66 lottery funds is provided for non-capital grants, and $800,000 in Measure 66 lottery funds is provided for support of watershed councils. Total support for watershed councils is $3.9 million, including federal funds. The budget also includes $2.3 million other funds limitation and $29.3 million federal funds limitation. The federal funds are derived from the Federal Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Program. It includes $13.6 million in carry forward from the 0305. $8.5 million of the federal funds are used in other state agencies to allow the continuation of Oregon Plan and help restore and protect salmon, steelhead, and watersheds. The budget also provides $2.8 million PCSRF federal funds for non-capital grants. Additional PCSRF fund monies the state received during the biennium could also be used for non-capital grants after OEB receives limitation from the Emergency Board. Measure 66 funding for capital expenditure projects is included in Senate Bill 5624 in order to provide the agency with a six-year expenditure limitation for these projects. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5623 be amended and reported out due pass as amended. I only add, Mr. Co-Chair, that I believe this is an identical bill to the one coming out of the House.
Very good. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5624, Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, Capital Projects. Senator Bates again, please.
Thank you. Senate Bill 5624 provides the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board with a six-year limitation for capital expenditure projects funded by Measure 66 lottery funds. In 1999, the legislature adopted statutes to define the use of the constitutionally mandated Measure 66 lottery funds for capital expenditure projects. At least 65% of the biannual revenue from Measure 66 must be used for these types of projects. Many of the projects awarded funding by OWEB are multi-year efforts, and OWEB only makes a final grant payment upon completion of the project. The legislature addresses this by treating the capital expenditure project portion of the OWEB budget like a capital construction projects, which have a six-year limitation. The agency will continue to report on a regular basis to the legislature on the status of the capital expenditure grant program. Senate Bill 564 provides OWEB with a $41.3 million lottery funds limitation for new Measure 66 funds allocated in 05-07. This is a 70% increase over 035. The limitation for these funds will expire on June 30, 2011. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5624 be amended and report out due pass as amended.
Senator, discussion? Objection? Seeing none? So ordered. Senate Bill 5626, Health-Related Licensing Board. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 5626 is the budget bill for 9 health-related licensing boards. These agencies are supported entirely by other funds. Major revenue sources include application, examination, and license fees. The Education Subcommittee approved increased expenditures authority to implement House Bill 2058, increased 3 part-time positions to reduce the reliance on uncompensated overtime to deliver services, and provided a one-time increase to relocate the Board of Pharmacy to more suitable office space. The subcommittee also approved the establishment of 2 positions for the Board of Pharmacy to address the increased workload associated with high-priority issues. Examples of high-priority issues include foreign drug importation and the diversion of non-prescription drugs for methamphetamine production. Performance measures were reviewed for each agency. Several measures were deleted, with directions to the agencies to keep them internally, and new customer services measures were added. The Education Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5626 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Very good. Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none? So ordered. Senate Bill 5627, Health-Related Licensing Boards, the Fee Bill. Senator Gordley.
Thank you. Senate Bill 5627 is the fee bill for 3 health-related licensing boards. The bill provides the enabling legislation needed to approve the fee increases adopted through administrative rule by the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board, the State Mortuary and Cemetery Board, and the State Board of Pharmacy. The fee increases implemented by the Occupational Therapy Licensing Board are expected to generate approximately $38,000. The increased revenue will allow the board to contract for investigator services. At the direction of the 2003 legislature, the State Mortuary and Cemetery Board increased license fees to address a revenue shortfall. The board's 2005-07 budget depends on the continuation of these fees, which are expected to generate approximately $140,000. The State Board of Pharmacy established 2 new fees related to remote dispensing machines. The fees are expected to generate approximately $1,200. The Education Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5627 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none, so order. House Bill 5114A, Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I perhaps have a discrepancy here. The title on this is 5114B.
Yeah, I know.
Staff, will you help us on that?
Mr. Chair, after you take action today, it will be.
It will be B when you're done.
Great. We'll move ahead then. House Bill 5114 is the budget bill for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. With the exception of a 3% services and supplies and capital outlay reduction of $140,840, the bill is identical to Senate Bill 5048A that was approved by the Senate Special Committee on Budget and passed to the Senate floor. The subcommittee amended the bill to allow for the non-limited expenditure for liquor purchases and changed the supplemental expenditure limitation for agents' compensation to accommodate increased estimates in revenue for the biennium. The subcommittee recommends House Bill 5114 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you very much. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 5122A, Housing and Community Service Department, Senator Westland.
I, and like Senator Johnson, do understand that B follows A. House Bill 5122 is the House version of the budget bill for the Housing and Community Services Department. With two exceptions, the bill is equivalent to the Senate's budget adopted in Senate Bill 5579. The general fund services and supplies budget was reduced by 3%, or $8,283, and the 0305 supplemental appropriation for debt service and federal funds were removed from the bill. The supplemental appropriations were addressed in House Bill 5162, which was approved by the Senate on June 28. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5122 be amended and reported out due passed as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 5127A, the Employment Department. Senator Morris.
This is the record for the shortest pony. House Bill 5127 is a House version of the budget bill for the Employment Department. With the exception of a 3% reduction to the General Fund Services and Supplies budget, or $18,127, House Bill 5127 is equivalent to the Senate's budget adopted in Senate Bill 5582. Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5127A be reported out to pass, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 5130A, Department of Administrative Services. Senator Morse again.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 5130B is the budget bill for the Department of Administrative Services. This committee previously passed out the department's budget in Senate Bill 5585. The agreement has been reached on the department's budget, and House Bill 5130 is to be amended to reflect that agreement. The General Government Subcommittee amended the bill to restore two positions, 1.75 FTE, for the Oregon Progress Board and provide other funds expenditure limitation of $400,000 for its activities. The subcommittee also approved a budget note that has been agreed upon by both chairs. That budget note directs the department to review cell phone usage by state agencies with an eye towards development of rules for all agencies to follow when providing cell phones to staff. The department is to report its results to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee before the end of calendar 2006. Mr. Chair, your General Government Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5130A be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Very good. Thank you. Discussion?
Mr. Chair, just a comment. The reference to the Oregon Progress Board reminds all of us that we're losing Jeff Tryons, the executive director of the Oregon Progress Board, to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And at some other appropriate moment, probably on the Senate floor, I think a number of us will probably want to say some congratulatory things about Mr. Tryons and all of his hard work with the Oregon Progress Board. And moving to Australia really is our loss. And as we look ahead to how we use the Progress Board in this process, well, again, it really will be our loss. Best of luck to Jeff Tryons.
Yeah, I agree. Further discussion? Objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 228 relating to physical education. Richard Devlin.
Yes. Thank you,
Senator
Chairman.
Excuse me, sir.
Senate Bill 228 establishes the expectation that all public charter school students will participate in a minimum weekly amount of physical education by the year 2017. The curriculum type and instructional goals are specified. Students with an individualized education plan and students with chronic health problems and other disabling conditions will have suitable adapted physical education incorporated into their plans. Physical education teachers will be adequately prepared and regularly participate in professional development. To prepare schools for compliance, the Department of Education is to convene an advisory committee during the 2005-2007 biennium to develop rules and criteria for a grant program to be implemented in 2007-2009. Grants would be administered by the department from the Physical Education Fund. Part of the Oregon Department of Education's interim work is to collect data relating to the number of minutes of physical education that are currently provided students. The data will allow the Oregon Department of Education to estimate how many additional teachers will be necessary to reach full compliance with the bill's requirements.
The initial cost to implement SB 228 is approximately $48,000 for Oregon Department of Education's 2005-2007 work with an advisory committee and for data collection, analysis, and reporting. If the department finds that there aren't enough resources in the budget we adopt, we could make a request to the emergency board for positioning authority and an additional appropriation. The Subcommittee on Education concluded that it's necessary to make progress toward a statewide standard for physical education instruction and recommends SB 228 be amended and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Senator Morris.
Question, Mr. Chair. Could there be a little more elaboration on the expected source of funding for the grants within ODE?
Senator Devlin.
My expectation, the way that the bill is written, is the Department of Education would prepare a program, they would adopt rules, they would have some expectation that school districts would be able to meet these standards by 2017. They would make a request in the Department of Education budget for an appropriation to start that process. That request would have to go through the normal review process between the Department of Education, the Department of Administrative Services, and the governor, and it would be up to this body whether or not to appropriate any funds to do this. This would be general funds, general or lottery funds.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, please.
Would this be characterized as an unfunded mandate on school districts?
Senator Devlin, I think the answer is no, because there's no requirement that they do this without the funding. But Senator Devlin?
I think it, you know, anytime you say school districts should do anything, it could be characterized as a mandate or an unfunded mandate. Certainly I might characterize No Child Left Behind as an underfunded mandate. But I think clearly there's a recognition here that there's a problem that exists, but that it's up to the legislature ultimately to decide if they want to make progress towards this and balance it against the other needs we have. And when a request is made, presuming that the governor actually forwards a request for funds, that we will have the ultimate decision on whether any funds are appropriated. So in a sense, we will be covering the mandate, because there is some recognition that the resources are not there now before we do this.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Bates.
I'd like to make a comment to the good Senator Morris that in our caucus we don't often encourage Senator Devlin for more details.
That is true.
Now, Senator.
Do you want the 90-second version or the 3-hour version?
Yeah.
Kurt.
Yes, I got it. Further discussion? Objections? Seeing none, so ordered. And again, I guess we're going to recess. We have another call of the Senate. Recess. Special Committee on Budget back to order. Appreciate everyone's indulgence here. Next item on our list was Senate Bill 247A relating to the dispute resolution issue or old commission. Senator Gordon.
Thank you again. Senate Bill 247A would repeal a scheduled January 2, 2006 sunset of the University of Oregon and Portland State University dispute resolution programs. These programs were transferred to those institutions last session when the Dispute Resolution Commission was abolished. The University of Oregon now administers community programs that provide mediation services and conflict resolution training to private parties. Portland State University now administers the Oregon Consensus Program that mediates disputes involving public bodies.
We may want to call on their services.
That's not a good idea.
Can I second that?
My God, I'm going to dispute that with you.
The bill would also dedicate the funds in the dispute resolution account to support the community and Oregon consensus programs. The dispute resolution account is funded by surcharges on certain court filing fees. Senate Bill 247A does not affect the level of these surcharges. For the 2005-07 biennium, the bill allocates $800,000 to the Judicial Department for court-based mediation and arbitration services, with the remainder allocated to the Department of Higher Education for the community and Oregon consensus programs. In future biennia, all dispute resolution account funds are allocated to the Department of Higher Education for these programs. Your Education Subcommittee recommends passage of Senate Bill 247A.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Objections? Seeing none? So ordered. Senate Bill 358, relating to natural resource agencies. Senator Johnson, please.
Senate Bill 358 creates the Oregon Quality Jobs Task Force. The task force will consist of 11 members appointed by the governor. Members of the task force represent natural resource agencies, rural communities, unions or labor organizations, temporary or transient workers, environmental interest groups, and the Departments of Economic and Community Development and Community Colleges and Workforce Development. The Economic and Community Development Department is directed to provide staff support. The purpose of the task force is to improve the cost efficiency and effectiveness of the expenditures on natural resource management and restoration activities, develop quality employment goals, and coordinate the development, implementation, and monitoring of demonstration projects. The measure calls for the development of at least two demonstration projects during the period beginning with the appointment of the task force and ending October 1, 2008. The measure has a fiscal impact of approximately $93,000 lottery funds, which will be accommodated in the lottery allocation bill. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends that SB 358 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Discussion? Objection? Seeing none? So ordered. Senate Bill 858, relating to address confidentiality. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 850 creates the Address Confidentiality Program within the Department of Justice for victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking who have relocated because of threats to their safety and desire to have their actual address be confidential. Under this measure, the Attorney General shall designate a substitute address for certified program participants and act as the participants' agents for purpose of all legal processes and receiving and forwarding of first-class certified and registered mail. The Department of Justice may seek, solicit, receive, and administer money grants, donations, and gifts to establish and operate the address confidentiality programs, and funds received are to be deposited into the Department of Justice operating account as authorized under Oregon Revised Statutes 1.80.180. Colleagues, similar legislation to this is now active in 17 states. Four states have recently passed it unanimously in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and Nebraska. The state of Washington was the first state to adopt it. After identification of other and or federal funds sourced to operate the address confidentiality program and prior to expenditure of funds, the Department of Justice will need to request supplemental other and or federal fund appropriation and limitation, and if necessary, position authority from the Legislative Emergency Board or subsequent legislative session. The Subcommittee on Public Safety recommends SB 850 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair, just a quick comment. This is a very good bill. I know a lot of people have worked hard on this, all the domestic violence advocates and associations, as well as the Department of Justice. So I want to thank not only you, Senator Devlin, but also Sybil Hepp, who's sitting in the back, for bringing this forward. Thank you very much.
Good comment. Further discussion? Objection? Seeing none? So ordered. Senate Bill 878, relating to Oregon Project Independence. Senator Carter.
It's a great bill, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Senate Bill 878 creates the Oregon Project Independence Fund. The fund is intended to be used as a trust fund with the interest earned on the fund continuously appropriated to the Department of Human Services. Revenue to the fund includes a state collection under current law. Interest earned on the fund and an initial transfer of $250,000 from the senior property tax deferral revolving fund account. Once the fund grows, money in the fund will be used to provide services to people with disabilities and to expand eligibility under the current ODI program. The current Senate budget plan already includes a $10 million transfer from the senior property tax deferral revolving account to the general fund in the Department of Revenue budget as a partial offset for the $8.9 million general fund association and Department of Human Services budget for Oregon Project Independence. Human Services Subcommittee recommends that Senate Bill 870A be amended and reported out to be passed as amended. Just a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
This is a great bill, you guys. Each session, we have concerned ourselves about project independence, and it's the first offered up in the department's budget. So this will give it a stable funding source. But also what it does, and what we have not done, and that is to allow those persons who need support from the state until the end of life time comes, will allow us to go back and get those dollars that was contributed by to the state for those people and put it back into this fund. That's why it is a trust fund that will allow us to do that. This is a great deal.
Very good. Further discussion? I concur with Senator Carter. It's the beginning. I don't know if it's perfect, but it is, I think, a very, very good bill, probably long overdue, and takes a bone of contention off the table. This hopefully establishes our long-term commitment to what was our first long-term care program in this state. So I think this is very exciting. I'd like to thank Ruth Shepard, Jackie Zimmer, and others that have put a lot of time in on this, and look forward to this getting over to the House and getting this passed so that we can do some really good things. Yes, Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, will there eventually, or perhaps there is now, a mechanism to receive funds from other sources? Because I could see folks wanting to make some kind of a contribution to an endowed trust fund to take care of seniors, and I just raise that as an issue.
We did not develop a mechanism for that. We just looked to the estates of those people who had money beyond those dollars that we had. They had used from the state. One other piece, though, that I did not say that it's going to be good, we have not allowed senior adults who are developmentally disabled to be engaged. In this bill, they'll be a part of it, too.
It's a feature. But that's a good comment. I think the bill will get worked in the House, and it's
right.
An opportunity to add something like that, quite frankly.
Right. Good idea.
Further discussion? Seeing none. Objections? Seeing none. So ordered. Unfortunately, colleagues, it looks like we have to wend our way back to the Senate floor for a call of the Senate. We're in recess. Hearing. Everyone's left the room.
Cleaned out the room pretty good, though.
That's right. Almost.
Quick.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to demean the good representative of the outfit agency which we're about to discuss. But he is very concerned about this. He's waiting with bated breath for our working on this bill. All right, let's go with Senate Bill 954. Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 954 is amended as a fee bill, which increases fees relating to criminal background and other checks for purchases of firearms. Revenue from this fee is used to support the direct cost of the responding to requests from gun shop owners and others who are required to check the criminal background of someone purchasing a firearm. The current fee is charged is $10, and the bill raises the fee to $13. Other fees for background checks provided by the State Police Identification Services Division have also been increased to fill a funding gap that is partially the result of general fund cuts during the last two bienniums. The budget for the Oregon State Police assumes these fee increases. The subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 954 be amended and reported out due. Pass as amended.
Thank you very much. Discussion. Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, having gotten these bills very quickly this afternoon and not had an ample opportunity to review them thoughtfully, I've spoken with my colleague, Mr. Devlin. He's interested in having this bill move forward. If necessary, I'd be recorded as a courtesy. Yes, I know we don't do that here, but I just want to get it on the record that I would reserve the right to vote no on the floor.
Very good. Further discussion? Senator Morris. Objections. Senator Morris is recorded as an objection. I appreciate your indulgence, Senator.
You reserve the right to vote.
Passed. Senate Bill 1016A relating to nurses. Senator Westland.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. As a prelude to the pony, I'd just like to compliment Brian DeLashmit for all of the work he's done on this bill, his passion and support, and his articulate testimony. Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 1016 establishes a grant program to advance innovative solutions to Oregon's nursing shortage. The grant program will be administered by the Oregon State Board of Nursing. The bill authorizes the board to impose an $8 biennial fee on registered nurses and licensed license practical nurses to fund the program. The fee is expected to generate approximately $300,000. The grant funds will be used to promote the number of licensed nurses practicing in Oregon, B, diversity of the nursing workforce, and C, leadership development to improve the retention of nurses. The Subcommittee on Human Resources recommends Senate Bill 1016A be amended and reported out due pass.
Very good. Any discussion?
Well, just again, a heartfelt thank you to Mr. DeLashmet. This was exceptional work.
No, that's okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Senator Johnson.
Just as a point of clarification,
insider joke
the
guy,
Oregon Nursing Leadership Council, is that the one that's housed at OHSU, an amalgam of nursing programs? I just don't know what it is.
We're going to have
yes,
to
it
have
is. It's at the center.
Okay.
It's the leadership, isn't it? The leadership
mm-hmm.
group? Yeah.
Great.
And the inside joke is it has nothing to do with ONA or Nurses Association. They just take the blame for it.
Or the credit.
Or the credit. This
there you go.
Yeah, depending on how it works out.
Sorry. It's on their list of, you know, if you want to look good, you check off your hands. Good stuff. All right. Any further discussion? Objections? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 2120A, relating to fees assessed by the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. Senator Johnson, please.
Thank you. House Bill 2120 would increase fees for aggregate or mineral mining operation permits. The Department of Geology and Mineral Industries uses fees from the mining permits to support the activities of the Mined Land Reclamation Program. The bill would change the structure of the current fee schedule in which permit fees are based on a range of volume of material removed and replace it with a fee of 0.75 cents per ton of material removed plus a $635 base permit fee. This is likely to cause a decrease in fees paid by small operators and an increase in fees for large operators. Overall, the fee changes are expected to increase fee revenue by about $300,000 per biennium. The Dogami budgets, as passed by both the House and the Senate, assume passage of this fee increase and already have adequate other funds expenditure limitation and position authority for the anticipated revenue from the modified fees. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 2120A be reported out due pass.
Very good. Thank you. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none? So ordered. House Bill 2123, relating to water appropriation transfers, Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Gocher. Oregon's water code requiring a permit to use groundwater was enacted in 1955. Pre-1955, groundwater users had an opportunity to register their water use under statute as a certificate of registration. According to the Water Resource Department, there are currently more than 4,000 such certificates of registration. The certificates are not final determinations of the water use. This bill would give the Water Resource Department the ability to make modifications to groundwater registrations before final determination, as long as the modification is consistent with the certificate of registration. There is not an enlargement of water use, and no injury to other water users would result. Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 2123 be reported out and due pass.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none? So ordered. House Bill 2159, relating to sale of state-owned property. Senator Johnson again, I believe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chapter 989, Oregon Laws 2001, directed the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to relocate its headquarters from Portland to Salem. The bill also required ODFW to sell the Portland facility, with any proceeds remaining after payment of relocation costs to be deposited into the general fund. The Portland building was paid for using hunting and fishing license revenue. Federal legislation passed in the 1930s stipulates that if a state diverts hunting or fishing license revenue into their general fund, they will lose federal wildlife monies generated by the federal excise tax on sporting goods. The department is due to receive approximately $25 million from these federal sources during the 05-07 biennium. House Bill 2159 avoids this risk by stipulating that the remaining $1.6 million in sale proceeds are to be deposited in the State Wildlife Fund to be used by the department for the management of the state's fish and wildlife. Your Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 2159 be reported out, due pass.
Thank you. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none? So ordered. House Bill 2186, relating to voluntary agreements with the Water Resources Department. Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. A pilot project was established last session that authorized the Water Resources Department to enter into voluntary agreements for expedited agency action on an application or other request for agency action. Under this agreement, the applicant pays the actual cost of process or application outside the normal department process. In addition to the cost of expediting the processing, the department collects a statutory required application fee. Under current law, the department has the authority to operate the program and collect fees through January 1 of 2006. House Bill 2186 would remove the sunset. The subcommittee recommends that House Bill 2186 be reported out and due pass.
Thank you. Discussion. Objection. Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 2593, relating to hazardous waste disposal fees. Senator Bates.
House Bill 2593 would remove the January 2, 2006 sunset and make permanent the temporary schedule for hazardous waste management fees paid to the Department of Environmental Quality by hazardous waste disposal facility operators. The state currently has one hazardous waste disposal facility. The facility pays a management fee to DEQ based on the amount and types of waste received from customers of the facility. While the disposal fee is set to statute at $30 per ton of waste disposed at the facility, a temporary schedule of lower fees was enacted by the 1997 Legislative Assembly in order for the facility to remain competitive with similar facilities in neighboring states, and has been improved each biennium since then. Without the passage of this bill, the fee would revert to $30 per ton. Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 2593 be reported out and due pass.
Discussion. Objection. Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 2717B, related to postponement of workers' comp hearing. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Under current law, an appeal of a ruling by the Department of Consumer and Business Services Director can be made to the Workers' Compensation Board. The Board is then required to schedule a hearing on the appeal within 90 days of the request. The hearing may be postponed for, quote, extraordinary circumstances. There is no limit on the length of postponement under current law. House Bill 2717B maintains the 90-day requirement for a hearing, but limits the postponement period to 120 days from the original hearing date. The measure also increases the current 10-day notice of hearing to 60 days, but provides that the 60-day notice may be waived by agreement. The subcommittee adopted an amendment that excludes certain cases from the 60-day notice. The bill, as approved by the House, provides the Department of Consumer and Business Services with an other funds expenditure limitation increase of $247,562 for one-time expenditures related to rescheduled hearings during the first 10 months that the measure takes effect. The subcommittee recommends that House Bill 2717B be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Very good. Discussion. Senator Bates, no? Objection. Seeing none? So ordered. We have a couple last-minute items here. Recognize Senator Westland first.
Mr. Chair, ask permission to change my vote on Senate Bill 5604. It will not change the outcome.
That's fine. Any objections? Seeing none, how do you vote?
I vote no.
So recorded.
And second item. Also, Mr. Chair, request permission to vote on Senate Bill 5600, the Department of Human Services.
Very good. Any objection? Seeing none, how do you vote?
Under the condition, Mr. Chair, that Senator Bates and I co-carry the budget, I will be happy to carry the part of the budget that is augmented, and Senator Bates has agreed to carry that portion of the budget that has undergone cuts.
Let me give Senator Bates another budget to carry, but you can certainly vote yes and carry that budget if you so desire. I appreciate your help, sir. So Senator Bates.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair. I would ask that Senate Bill 5612, the Oregon Department of Forestry, be referred back to the Senate Subcommittee on Natural Resources.
Very good. A few minor modifications. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would request the opportunity to recast my vote on Senate Bill 5616, Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Any objections? Seeing none, how do you vote?
I vote no.
Okay, please not change the outcome. Okay. So recorded.
Thank you.
We are adjourned. Good work, committee. Nice job.